Has America's history of racial violence impacted you personally? You may think it hasn't, but many social scientists and psychologists would argue differently, that whatever race you may be, the fault lines that have been with us for centuries linger on in our daily interactions and even in our emotions. In the new book, A More Just Future, Psychological Tools for Reckoning with Our Past and Driving Social Change, author Dolly Chugg challenges us to face these issues squarely in ourselves as well as in the broader world. Dolly is a psychologist who teaches at NYU's Stern School of Business, and she joins us to share five big ideas from her book.
Hi, my name's Dolly Chugg. I'm a professor at the New York University Stern School of Business in the Management and Organizations Department, and I'm the author of two books, The Person You Mean to Be and A More Just Future. Today, I'm going to share with you five key insights from my book, A More Just Future. Insight number one, so much to unlearn. This one starts on a little house on a prairie. That's right. I, like millions of others, and perhaps like you, was a big fan of the Little House on the Prairie books growing up. And once I had my own kids, I couldn't wait to read the books to my kids. In fact, I spent a whole year reading all eight books, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages to my kids every night. And they just loved hearing about these kids growing up on a prairie in this hardworking American family that was dealing with difficult circumstances and overcoming obstacles together as a family. We loved it so much. My husband and I actually took our kids on a family vacation, driving through South Dakota and Minnesota, going to the places where that real family lived at the time. And I remember being really smug about this parenting coup of an affordable vacation, educational, that our kids were loving. They would not take their little prairie dresses off. They just loved living this Ingalls life. So when I started to have little nudgy questions in my brain about, as I looked at the prairie, wondering what happened to the indigenous people who lived on that land, whose land that was, I remember not knowing how to think about it. And I remember being emotionally kind of thrown off by it and not really bringing it up with my kids. 10 years later now, I look back and I realized that I didn't share the full story of that family and of America with my kids. That in fact, I thought they were learning so much when in fact what I was doing was setting them up to have to unlearn so much down the road. And so much of the historical narratives we have about the United States have that element to it, where it's a partial history or a whitewashed history, putting us in a position of wanting to unlearn in order to learn moving forward. I think the hard part there is not the intellectual work. There's a lot of great content out there now, but the emotional work. Dealing with emotions like shame or disbelief or anger or guilt. And I think we need psychological tools for doing that. I do, quite frankly. So I wrote this book because I felt it was the book I needed to read. So insight number one, so much to unlearn. Insight number two, the Patriot's Dilemma. The Patriot's Dilemma is a term I've come up with to describe something I've seen in myself, I've seen in the people I interviewed for my book, and I've seen in the research that I've tried to curate in the book. The Patriot's Dilemma captures a phenomena that the more we love our country, the less likely we are to be motivated to do the necessary work to improve it. The dilemma sits in the fact that the deep love we have for our country, the deep love I have for my country, makes it tougher for me to push aside my rose-colored lenses, to see the country more fully, ways in which it is living up to my dreams of what it should be, and ways in which it's falling short. So the more pride we take in our ancestors, the harder it is for us to tell their full stories, both their successes and their shortcomings. The more we identify with heroes from the past, perhaps our forefathers or the Ingalls family, as I mentioned, the more threatened we feel by behavior that's sub-heroic. So it becomes difficult to look past the Instagrammed version of our country. I heard this in one of the stories from Megan Leiden, a personal trainer I interviewed for my book. She comes from a family that would sit around the kitchen table after school and talk about what they learned in history class. Really deep patriotism and love of country. When she graduated from high school, she asked her mom as a graduation gift if she would buy her her high school senior year history book, textbook, because she hadn't had a chance to read the whole thing in preparation for the AP history test, and she really, really wanted to. So Megan really comes at this with a love of history and a love of country. But one of the things she's found in the years since high school is that through some courses in college, through social media accounts that have exposed her to different perspectives and different voices, through her own active reading, she started to realize there were ways in which she wasn't seeing aspects of American history that perhaps connected slavery, segregation, and today's racial disparities, that she wasn't seeing the connection between those. And it was more difficult to see it because of that love of country that she felt so dearly about. She captured this by saying to me in a way that I found really helpful, it's like all we know is America's greatest hits. So her goal has become to push past the patriot's dilemma, to retain that love of country, but not fall into the trap of not being able to see the country's full history. By naming it the patriot's dilemma, I'm hoping we're better able to see it, notice it, and then push past it. Insight number three, the paradox mindset and how to embrace it. A lot of us are wired for consistency. Our brains really like to put things together, to straighten that crooked picture on the wall, to see the clean narrative between A to B to C. Some of us are like extra wired for consistency. You know, I have a planner. If I write in blue ink and then switch to black, I'm like, bah. So there's different variations of this amongst each of our personalities. But in general, human beings don't like to sit with contradiction. We want to resolve that. We want to solve the puzzle. A paradox in which there are conflicting true statements is something that may challenge us to be very intentional in how we mentally process that contradiction. Well, when it comes to looking at our country's past, we've got a lot of paradox to deal with. Consider, for example, that our forefathers had extraordinary vision, wrote extraordinary documents, defied extraordinary odds to build this democracy, founded on principles of liberty and justice and equality. And consider the fact that many of those forefathers, while they were doing those things, were enslaving human beings, were separating children from their parents, were torturing and pursuing violently people who tried to save themselves. Both of those things are true. And even as I'm saying this out loud, I'm finding it's so uncomfortable to say, but that's the paradox. Well-documented, conflicting true statements. Wendy Smith, Marianne Lewis, and other paradox scholars have done research that shows us that if we can sit with paradox, however, if we can embrace a paradox mindset, it opens up tremendous possibilities for us. It makes us more resilient. It makes us more creative. The key is to stop looking for the missing puzzle piece, but to just accept that the puzzle is unsolvable. I heard a great example of this in one of the interviews I did for the book with Mayor Mitch Landrieu, who was mayor of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And he, when I interviewed him, I wanted to talk to him about bringing down the Confederate monuments that sat on public spaces in New Orleans and his fight, and it was a fight, to do that. Yet when I was speaking with him by phone, I was surprised at how the conversation just kept circling back to building and building the city and building it up. even though we were talking about tearing down these monuments, and at one point I just asked him, I said, I'm confused. I thought we were going to talk about tearing down the monuments, and you keep talking about building things. Help me understand how you're thinking about this. And without missing a beat, he said, most of life, we live inside a contradiction, or words to that effect. That was a great indicator that he's embraced the paradox mindset. When we do that, when we're able to embrace the paradox mindset, we're able to reckon with the whitewashed history and the emotions that come up when we come across those paradoxes. We're able to push past it and stay with the unlearning and learning process rather than abandoning it because it seems like an unsolvable puzzle. That means that we're less likely to say things like, we shouldn't learn that, or we shouldn't teach that, or we shouldn't include that, because we're willing to sit with the paradox it brings up. So that's insight number three, embracing the paradox mindset. Insight number four, the long time ago illusion. Something that I've really been trying to get my head around in writing this book is thinking about the timeline in which the past, present, and future connect. Let me give you an example. I read recently that Anne Frank, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Barbara Walters would all be the same age right now, Anne Frank and Dr. King were still alive. That in fact, all three were born in 1929. Blew my mind when I heard it, because it seems in my head that Anne Frank and the Holocaust were a long time ago. It seems like in my head that Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement was a long time ago. And yet chronologically, we can see that it's literally within Barbara Walters' lifetime. Barbara Walters, who, of course, is still active and until recently was a host of The View. In thinking about this phenomena of things seeming like a long time ago, it makes it harder for us to connect the dots between what happens in the past and what happens in the present. In fact, there's research by psychologists that even says that we tend to look at things in the past almost blurrier than we look at things in the future, even if it's a similar number of time units away, that we tend to blame victims of things that happened in the past more than we blame a victim of the same thing potentially happening in the future. In other words, our brain has what Eugene Caruso and colleagues call wrinkles in time, where we view the past and the future differently. So things that happened in the past really seem like a long time ago. Why does this matter? It makes it tougher for us to connect the dots between things that already happened and how they are showing up in our lives today. So one of the things I've been thinking a lot about is how can we get better at connecting those dots? What can we look for? The patterns in which speech replicates, thought replicates, systems replicate, trauma replicates from the past into the present, making a long time ago actually be a really current, relevant thing in our daily lives today. Let me add a little motivation to it. Psychologist Fia Salter and her colleagues have done work where they've shown that just giving people a small amount of historical knowledge, having them read a paragraph or two, increases their ability to recognize systemic racism in the present. So in other words, knowing a little bit about what happened yesterday makes it easier to understand what's happening today. That's why it's so important to connect the dots and not let that long time ago illusion overtake us. That's insight number four, the long time ago illusion. Insight number five, gritty patriots. I love this one. I came up with the idea of gritty patriots thinking about an interview I did with George Takei. You may know him from the original cast of Star Trek. You may know him from his massive social media presence and millions of followers. He's remarkably relevant as a celebrity 5 decades after he first became famous. I had an opportunity to interview him. Fun fact, when I sent him the invitation asking to interview him, I told him I would do cartwheels if he said yes. And then he said yes and said, okay, show me that cartwheel. So I ended up recording myself doing a cartwheel on my front lawn and my kids cheering in the background. And we sent it to him and he's saying hello, Dolly, to me at the beginning of the interview on the phone. So it was truly a delight. As some people know, but not enough, George and his family were incarcerated in Japanese-American internment camps during World War II. They were American citizens, but like 120,000 other Japanese-Americans, when Japan and the U.S. went to war, they were taken from their homes, they had to leave their jobs, they had to leave their roots, and they were taken many states away, kept behind barbed wires with men holding guns, keeping them imprisoned for crimes they had yet to commit, that they might someday commit. George grew up, he was a young boy when this happened, has vivid memories now, 80 years later, of living in those internment camps. When he speaks of his country, he speaks with such love of the United States. He also speaks, back to paradox, with such disappointment in how his country treated him and his family. So he's made it his mission to make sure we know about what happened then, to educate Americans about the reality of those internment camps. And in doing this, he's exemplified this idea of being a gritty patriot, someone who loves their country, but does so with grit. Grit, Angela Duckworth, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, defines as passion and perseverance in pursuit of a meaningful long-term goal. And here it's our love of country. It's making our country better that is the meaningful long-term goal. And our grit is the agentic, intentional actions we take to pursue that goal, as opposed to having an entitlement that we are entitled to just easily love and like our country all the time, regardless. I love that George shows us what it means to be a gritty patriot, loving our country while having the grit to keep trying to make it better, even when it lets us down. That's insight number 5, gritty patriots. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy A More Just Future, and I hope you'll join me in trying to learn and unlearn. Thanks.
Thank you, Dolly. That was Dolly Chugg with 5 big ideas from A More Just Future, psychological tools for reckoning with our past and driving social change. Also, check out our book bite for Speaking of Race, Why Everybody Needs to Talk About Racism and How to Do It by Celeste Headlee. I'm Rufus Griscom. Thanks for listening.